Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there and welcome to New Life Live. So glad that you're listening right now because I never think it's an accident when somebody tunes in. And we've been planning for today. We've planned for this show for over 5 or 6 minutes now, and I'm really glad you're here. Mylon Yurkovich is in the studio along with Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, guys.
Yes. Hello, Steve.
Hi, everybody.
We are here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would like to get some free, absolutely, we do not charge you 1 cent to get advice over this radio program, 1-800-229.
Yes, it's cheap.
$3,000. It's worth every penny.
Well, there's
penny.
A difference between cheap and not too expensive.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Well,
yeah.
Also, all we ask you to pay is attention. And so often we find ourselves talking to ourselves because sometimes people call and they just need somebody to listen. And that's okay, too. We'll try to make something out of nothing anytime you call. 1-800-229-3000. That is the number. Glad you're here today. And we'll do, if you want to join us for another program, you can do that. 1-800-229-3000 for literally 2 hours today. Mylon and I are going to be doing the marriage intensive. Friday,
right,
Saturday,
guys.
And Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
there
sending lots of people.
Oh, cool.
Now listen to me. If you want, and I know you don't listen, but if you want to have the best Valentine's Day ever, you hand your wife the Valentine card on the 14th that says, I've signed us up, we're going to Orange County, and we're going to do this, and you'll never, ever regret it. I'm telling you, we've got room for you. So call us right now. Get signed up. Scholarship money's available. Don't let money stand in the way. But literally, I can tell you, if you're struggling and you can get the other person to come, there's about a 90% chance that when you leave there, your relationship is going to be on a different track. It's going to be on the right track. It's not going to solve everything. It's just going to change the trajectory for the entire relationship. That's what has happened in the past. And we're going to be talking about, I've added a couple of new things this time. It's going to be, I hope, the greatest experience ever. But you can do that. By the way, we've had a lot of people who've had a lot of experience, but we've never had anybody present as a couple where one of them was over 70. And that will be happening because last Saturday, Mylon, you did it, didn't you?
I became a I became a septuagintarian. Yes.
Congratulations.
That's hard to say. I'm stumbling over it still.
Yeah. So that's longer than 4 score and 7 years. Isn't
well,
it?
it's like 3 score and 10.
Yeah.
Or something like
it's
that.
Amazing. So when they were putting together the septuagint.
Septuagint.
You were there, I think.
Well, there were 70 people who did that, hence the word Septuagint, known as the LXX.
Yeah, pretty cool. So, anyway, happy birthday.
Thank you so much. Maybe that'll be my new something or other, the LXX.
Mm. But let me tell you, Mylon.
Yes, what?
When I was younger, in a million years, I never thought that somebody that was 70 would be so full of vitality, energy, young, youth, doing the kind of things that, I mean, you're changing lives, and that I'm not just
karate,
yeah.
Yeah,
still
all
doing
this
stuff,
martial arts,
yeah,
and And it's just exciting to know that, oh, you know, it'll be a long time before I'm 70. But when I get there one day, you know, I remember reading your books as a child. And happy birthday. All right, 1-800-229-3000. When we get back, no more chit-chat. We're going to go right to the calls. We always like to have a little chit-chat while people are calling, getting their story in here. But we're glad you're with us today here on New Life. Why are we here? Life transformation. That's it. We'll be back.
I am just so thankful for this weekend. It's been amazing to see how Satan messes up marriages in so many ways.
My name is Shelly Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography. It might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
Through Shelly's example, I have seen such transparency. It's just been amazing. I've just been able to let out all the yucky details.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey. Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Orange County, California, March 1st through the 3rd. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Two great people helping me out here today. I love these folks. Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich. Your phone calls, 1-800-229-3000. How about we talk with Cindy? Cindy's calling from Houston, Texas. She listens right there on that old New Life app. Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you all? Thank you so much for taking my call. And I'm nervous, but thank you for this Restoration Bible, too. What a wonderful gift. Thank you.
Thank you. She's referring to my newest project based on the acronym RESTORE. And, I just got the results of how people liked that Bible over Christmas. A lot of those Bibles sold over Christmas, and if you want one, you call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's a non-recovery restoration Bible. Well, how can we help you today? What's going on in your life?
Well, I have got a 13-year-old, and my question concerns her. I'm in a, been in custody battle since she was 2.5. She's now 13, trying to change it. She is, my question is, and I can give you some background, my question is, what do I tell her? You know, I believe that she's, you know, deserves the truth, but, you know, at a different level. She's been asking me questions about her dad, you know, why we divorced, and he's very, we're divorced because of adultery, but he's also narcissistic and controlling and manipulative and very overwhelming. She deals with it. Like, she's the one dealing with it now, whereas I was when I was married to him for 12 years. He micromanages both of us and complete control of her sports, and she's 50-50, goes back and forth. She's never known anything different. It's dizzying, and it's just, I don't think a grown-up could live like this, you know, so the 13-year-old's not doing well with it either. She's at home alone in the morning most days, leaves the empty house, comes empty house. So I'm making changes, and she's asking questions, and the reason I want to possibly tell her, I always tell her, I'll tell you when you're older. If you still, you know, want to know, we'll talk about it. She's now 13, and the reason I wanted to tell her was I'm about to make a serious decision. She plays a role in it. She's allowed to talk. We have a trial by jury, not judge, because we're in Texas, and he's trying to push it out as long as he can. But she may play a role in talking. She could talk to the jury, but she's scared of her dad. She may have the option to talk to the judge, but she's just scared. So I want to tell her some of the truth. Part of that is about abuse that she claimed when she was 2 or 3 that we never figured out. Her counselor at the time said it was her father. Her father, I don't believe it was her father. I believe it was possibly a friend of his, if anything happened at all. I don't know.
And are you thinking sexual abuse? Is that what you're alluding to?
Don't know. That's
or
what
physical?
She said.
Or,
and the way that she played, she did play therapy, and the way that she played with dolls was binding them up. I mean, it was very scary. But she's, you know, she's not got, you know, she's your typical 13-year-old, doesn't have, you know, doesn't have mm-hmm. any issues from that. If that did happen, it's not, nothing's ever.
Well, there's no
out.
Evidence right now. Yeah.
Straight A's, you know, plays, you know, sports, band, you know, I mean, just your typical.
Right. But Cindy, she's
old in a frustrating relationship.
Right. So she is learning, like, you are no longer the buffer for her since
right.
you guys are not together. So she's having to know who her dad is. Right, experience firsthand. So she has questions, and I think that it, you know, you first want to know what does your child observe? What is her experience? And you want to help validate that experience for her because it, you know, it's crazy making to be in a situation where somebody spins the truth to their advantage. And so to help her stay grounded, I think it's important to validate her experience. And she's asking for a little bit more. And I have you asked her, well, what do you suspect? You know, what thoughts have you had about what more there might be?
And she asked me that.
Okay.
She asked me, I had you guys on in the background one day when I picked her up from uh-huh. school and they were talking about cheating. And she said, did my dad cheat? You know, just because she heard it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've never asked her that, but I think she wonders, you know, she's come to.
So what did you tell her when
yeah.
she said, did my dad cheat?
We'll talk about that when you're a little bit older.
Hmm.
And how old was she when she asked you that?
10-ish. I've been listening to you guys for a long time, for, you know, since 2008.
And then how old was she when your husband reportedly cheated on you?
That was throughout our marriage. The last relationship, the reason I have the divorce on the grounds of adultery is because I hired a private investigator. So that was when she was two and a half, three. She was three, mm-hmm. almost two and a half, between two and a half and three. So she just
okay.
wouldn't have been aware.
So as I understand it, your question is, when do you tell her and what do you tell her? Is that right?
Right. Yes, you got it.
Okay.
Well,
ahead,
I think that you take into consideration who your child is and how she relates to things, how mature she is, right? And I think, you know, you can talk about that in ways instead of just blurting out your dad was a cheater. I think you can talk about, you know, the meaning of marriage and the vows that are made between a man and a wife and how that's supposed to be protected, that that's God's design. And when one person makes choices that doesn't protect that commitment, it hurts the relationship. And that, you know, I think, you know, kind of describing it, and I don't know what you think, but describing it in a way that, you know, doesn't completely make her dad a bad guy and like you're tearing him down, mm-hmm. but states the truth.
Which
made some choices that yeah. didn't go with marriage.
Never. A problem starting out something by saying, listen, I want you to know that we had a very, very tough relationship. Mm-hmm. I had some problems, and I maybe didn't handle things in the best way, but your dad did make a decision that I couldn't live with. And you've asked about it. I haven't told you. I've tried to put this off, but I want you to know, when you have a question, I'm going to tell you the truth,
mm-hmm.
and you're old enough to know the truth. And so, while I contributed to some difficulties in our relationship, I didn't contribute to his decision to go outside the marriage. But when he did, that was the end of our relationship,
yeah.
and I ended our relationship when that happened. Now, I don't really care what professionals think, whether that's good or
mm-hmm.
not,
no.
but I know this. When you are thrown into divorce, you don't know who to believe.
Right.
You don't know who to trust. You're so insecure. The person that is the most healthy or responsible, that child needs to know there's some place that I can go and I can trust whenever I'm told something. It is the truth, because your child's security is more important than maintaining some kind of false image for your husband. So, Jill,
no,
Milan, what do you guys think?
No, I agree. I err on the side of telling the truth.
Yeah.
Well, my house is like the recovery house for her. You know, she comes home halfway mm-hmm. through the weekend just done, spent. And that's all. It's all about validating and, you know, letting her get rest and just letting her be calm. I mean, it's just...
Well, Cindy, Cindy, you have two things going on here. Mm-hmm. You have... The first question is, how much should my child know or my children know about their history? And I maintain that by the time a child is 18, they should know the truth of the family system, because they're having to come out of that family mm-hmm. system and live in a world where a family system has impacted them. And so that's thought number one is you know, when do we tell people truth? And I think I agree with Jill and Steve that, you know, kids starting to be 13, they can start hearing things. The second issue is your custody battle, which is really another issue. And you're trying to protect her. And that brings up another issue. How much, and one of the things we have to be careful of as a parent, especially when divorced, is how much we project onto the spouse, or we allow our feelings to filter into the child's feelings. You're very hurt. So it's easy to take anything she says and project that or add that into her feelings and perhaps intensify or color or flavor her feelings with your history of pain with your husband as well. And this is really hard to do, to stay neutral. But your daughter...
Now, Mylon, I'm just flat exhausted by
I can tell.
Yeah.
But I get it.
To Mylon's point, well, then, when she says, man, I'm really tired after being at dad's, you might, if you're not aware of, you might, oh, you know, and thinks that she's saying she's exhausted when she's just tired. So he's just trying to help you see you don't want to project your exhaustion
to
whatever she might say about this.
And realizing that, because I've been through this firsthand, you know, with my wife and her parents divorced. And so what happens over time is each of the children decide how much relationship they want to have with dad. And it may be mm-hmm. different than yours. She may, as she gets older, have a whole different set of feelings toward him and toward you. And that is a part of her becoming an individual and differentiating. And that could be very hard to tolerate if you have a lot of pain and hurt in your heart, if she takes a different viewpoint.
I truly believe that if she has some balance in her life with her schedule, that she'll have a better relationship with her father.
Sure,
The control and the anger will all just hopefully...
Yes. And so all I'm saying is there's a lot of things to just be careful with in this kind of a situation. Jill, you were going to say something.
I think you can also let her know that your relationship with her dad, you know, and your experience is going to be different than hers.
Yes.
Right? That, you know, you are no longer in a, you know, a committed relationship with him. Mm-hmm. She's his child, and so, you know, she's going to get different aspects of him, and that it's okay for her to have some different opinions. Mm-hmm. You really want to support that, that her experience with dad and her viewpoints are okay if they're different than mom's experience. You mm-hmm. wouldn't expect her to have the exact same experience.
Yeah.
But what do you think about the abuse that she, you know, mm-hmm. I never let her read the transcript, but just going back through that from her counselor when we were in court, you know, when we lived in another state, I mean, it's just awful.
She needs to be seeing a counselor on a regular basis.
I can't do it. He won't let us. We both have
He's
to agree on the counselor.
Yeah.
That's the problem with the 50-50. And no matter who I present, he won't agree just by the fact that it's someone I present.
Mm-hmm.
That's
when your attorney appeals to the court based on this abuse, based on the what's going on with your child, the trauma that divorce itself can get. Then you appeal to the court through your attorney for them to allow you to do the responsible thing, and that is get help for your daughter. Because she needs
to... Part of that problem, Steve, is that we've done that. We've gone to counselors for her, and she has a huge, I don't want to call it aversion, but she just won't say a word, because we had one that he manipulated, that everything she told the counselor, dad knew about it by the time she got home.
Okay, so now you need to go and do it again.
Right.
So that doesn't make it right for her to not get the help that she needs. She needs
to
be.
Well, you want her to have a neutral
situation.
Space mm-hmm. where yeah. she can talk right. about things that's safe.
Right. Yeah, and Cindy, I just because of the confusion, to answer a question you posed a moment ago, mm-hmm. the confusion about the early some sort of abuse that nobody can quite seem to figure out that even the transcript says we don't know what the origin of this is. I'm not certain that's going to
happen. Oh, they say it's her father in the transcript. There's just no two ways about it.
Okay.
But I find that hard to believe.
Yet they allow him 50% custody?
Why do you find it hard to believe? That's kind of a mystery to me.
Just having known him for, I don't know, just having known him for as long as I have and their relationship, she's never, I mean, it never happened again. If it did, he had a guy living in his basement of a 3-story house that was just totally creepy. And I've always thought that maybe he had something to do with, you know, something that happened to her, and she was just so little. She doesn't even remember when we lived in that state.
Well, my point is I don't know if a judge will be able to use that to create some sort of influence upon his or her judgment about this case. I don't know that it's something that will be relevant or applicable. That's all I'm saying. It's sad and it's tragic, but I'm not sure if it will help. You asked that question.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. 1-800-229-3000.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Just a couple of final comments here, and I would just say this to you. The thing that really doesn't make sense to us, we talked about this on the break here. The thing that doesn't make sense is that your daughter says she was abused by her father. You're saying there's no way it could be him, and then he has 50% custody.
Yeah, or the therapy said it was him.
Yeah, if I were you, I might back off of that position. You probably married him thinking he had no ability to be unfaithful to you. And I would really ask the court to protect her from any future man in the basement or him, either one. And I would be a little more aggressive about getting her help and less time with a father that she believes abused her. And now, interesting, is blocking her getting the help that she needs, perhaps to protect himself. Her not revealing to a therapist what really happened. So there's a lot of stuff here that I think you need to go back and challenge. And if you don't have an attorney that can do that, you might need to consider that.
At the very least, to highlight the contradiction.
Yeah,
really.
It clearly really, is glaring.
This 13-year-old is a pawn still to this very day between Cindy and her husband.
No question.
They are battling against each other and what they're going to tolerate, and the dad is not going to tolerate her influence. It's still a battle between. It's more than a custody battle. It's a battle of influence. It's a battle of control. It's a battle of wanting to rescue and help restore and perceptions of all of that. Mm-hmm. And so, and I appreciate Cindy saying she's exhausted by her husband. And yet when you have a child, that's a fallacy of divorce. If you have children, you're permanently tied to that person.
You are.
And so to try to figure things out is certainly not easy. Cindy, we're so sorry you're going through this, but I hope this call also helps some other people as well.
Yeah. All right, 1-800-229-3000. Let's go right over here and talk with Jan. Boise, Idaho is where she's calling from. Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
What's going on? How can we help you today?
All out.
What's that?
Oh, I was crying earlier when the other gal was speaking to me.
Really?
But I was born and raised a Mormon.
Okay.
And I was Mormon until I was almost 50. I'm now 58. I've accepted Jesus. I know the difference, you know what I'm saying? But I have gone back thinking maybe I've made a mistake trying to. I'm struggling.
Okay. So was that a traumatic thing for you to decide, I think maybe I want to do something different than be in the Mormon church? Or was that just, okay, I've accepted Jesus?
I just realized after opening my heart to listening to other Christians, and my in-laws were helpful in that, I realized that, you know, it wasn't right for me. You know, I try not to judge others that believe it's true and whatever, you know, I just, in my life, it wasn't right. Although I've gone back, you know, in my struggle trying to learn. I don't know what I don't know. I don't know what I've learned that's not Christian based. I gone to a few churches that I really liked, but I never felt that I gained any, I had a difficult time bonding. I was still, because I feel like a child just learning.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right. Well, you kind of are a babe in the faith there. Don't you think that one of the things about the Mormon church is that they really do make you feel part of a big family. Mm-hmm. Don't you think that's a strength that they
have?
Oh, yeah. It's very all-inclusive.
Looking out for each other and even the community. When there's an emergency going on in the community, they go roll right out, you know, it's to help anybody in your neighborhood or, you know.
So
I mean, there's a lot of good things about the church, and I'm not wanting to talk bad about the church.
But here's my point.
In my heart, I felt it wasn't right.
But here's my point. I don't want to talk bad about Christian churches, but sometimes we have a really difficult time in helping people feel part of it. And so here you are. You've had things one way. You made the ultimate decision about Jesus, which really is the thing that should guide everything in what you're doing. And it doesn't necessarily feel great all the time, because you left an organization that can really make you feel great and included, and maybe, you know, the modern Christian church, typical church, isn't so great at that. There's a lot of things we could learn from the Mormon church. I'm just saying, I think what you're going through is absolutely kind of normal, predictable, and it would be great if a faith journey was all 8 steps forward and 8 more steps forward. But it just, it has fits and yeah. starts. And I'm glad you called, and we'll try to give you some help right after. Because a lot of people, they didn't leave the Mormon church, and they have these exact same feelings and struggles that you're having. And so it really gives us a chance to talk about the reality of faith, and that it isn't always just fantastic. But I've found that when it isn't, those are the great times when we can really gain some things, learn some things, and grow and mature in the faith. We'll be back right after this for more New Life.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Jill, you've got a lot of knowledge about
A Mormon grandmother and other family members that have been Mormon. Some have left and some stayed lifelong. And I understand that strong sense of family and the motivation in being more works-oriented that, you know, causes them to be better Christians than a lot of Christians. I also wanted to, Jan, validate you in the feelings you're having of, you know, when you've grown up one way and all of a sudden you get a new reality and you don't know what to trust, that is really disconcerting. It's like all of a sudden the ground is not stable. And so it makes sense why you're feeling that way. What's real? What's not real? And I think maybe a way to process that is, you know, you always hear us say about getting into, you know, support groups or small groups. And I think in a lot of the churches, you have to participate in some way to feel connected. And there's a movement through a lot of churches where they are starting these alpha groups. And those groups have the purpose of helping people learn the foundations of faith and really kind of be able to answer their questions or ask their questions and get an understanding of what they believe. And that might be a place for you to plug in and at least get your theological questions answered.
Yeah, we do that at our church. We have an alpha group. And whether it's that or having a relationship with an older, faithful woman who disciples you, teaches you these things, I think that's where we fall short is that, you know, you make this amazing decision, and then somebody doesn't come along and say, okay, now that you believe, let's see where we need to go.
Right.
And so we can shore up this, because you're going to have some really interesting times, and inconsistencies are going to show up, and we want to be there for you. So Alpha Group, going to a large church and saying, what do you have? Our church is a large church. You get involved in a home group, and then it becomes a small church. So I just think more involvement, giving yourself a break, and knowing that, boy, you were in that church a long time, and just the fact of saying, I'm going to do something different, that is not easy on the brain, and it takes a lot of courage and perseverance, and I applaud you for what you've done. That is that's not easy to do. So I would just say, stay the course. It's very tough. Let us see if we can give you some resources that will help you in this. I'm going to send you a copy of the Restoration Bible. It'll give you a path to follow in your growth, show you how to connect with some other people. I hope that that'll be a blessing to you. And I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back, which will help you have some freedom here in the faith that you have. And I ask folks to pray for you there. Great, great job in the courage that you did. Let me send you Toxic Faith, too, because there...
send you a library,
yeah,
Jan, basically.
The honored role in Toxic Faith is becoming an outcast where people, well, you just, it's really not exactly on track for the truth there. Okay, let's go to, how about we talk with, let's talk with Dee from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hi, Dee, how are you?
Good. Yes, I have tried for years to get on your program, so this is the Holy Spirit really showing his power. I'm amazed. The reason that I'm calling today is, I'll give you a teeny bit of history. And first of all, I need to say you gave wonderful advice to Cindy. I am an incest survivor. My dad abused me from the time that I was 4 to 8. Mm-hmm. And I went to my mother and I said to her, I've been in counseling, and it was a long time before I could talk about it after I left the home. And my dad has been abusing me since I was 4 to 8. And she said to me, don't ever, ever say that again. It'll hurt your dad's feelings.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I'm so sorry.
And so I kind of understand where Cindy's coming from, but she better have a wake-up call, because it's going to really harm her daughter if she keeps taking this stance when her daughter's having the courage to try to talk to somebody. And it's also going to alienate her daughter, because it's so painful when the one person you think you might be able to trust other than your counselor does this. But the actual reason that I'm calling is that I am married to a man that is likes to have temper tantrums. He really tries to be this super Christian when we're out in public, and we are a blended family, and he's done this for 27 years. I've known him for 27 years. We've been married almost 25, and I've dragged him to every kind of counselor, and he comes out of it smelling like a rose, and he's very charismatic, and it's like you can have the Trojan horse in the room and they all look at you like you're nuts and there's nothing wrong with him. And I just don't know how. I'm not planning to leave the marriage. I've still got an adopted 12-year-old in the marriage. But I need to know how to deal with someone that has temper tantrums.
Okay. So let's start with you, Mylan. Now, they go to counseling. It seems like it falls apart when the person in the counseling gets manipulated by him. Is there anything she could do, first of all?
Well, yeah, I do. Here's why I love to have couples counseling where they work together in the same office for several weeks. I tell people, come in for 12 weeks and then we'll reevaluate. Within 12 weeks, I can see what the core pattern is within the couple. I have them do their own discussions. I don't listen to their complaints. I listen to those for a moment, but then I have them embark on exercises of talking to each other. And when a couple is sitting on a couch or in two chairs facing each other, and I put provocative questions in front of them, I can then see what the reactivity levels are in each person. They either fight, flight, or freeze. And so I can then observe that myself. I would suggest that if a person did not do that, then basically what they're doing, it's a he said, she said. See, that's hard to say.
Yeah, it is.
That's like it's seashells by the seashore.
Right down by the seashore.
It is. It's a he said, she said. And then, you know, you're right. He can be perhaps make a better presentation. And then all of a sudden, you know, you leave the office with your tail between your legs. And that's just not fair. So I would like to suggest that you have to get together with a very good couples therapist that will not be manipulated into believing what the other person says. It's what they do, not what they say.
Right. Well, you know, I did find somebody. I went to a real intensive week-long program with him, and I just stuck to my stuff, but it made me feel like I didn't attack him. I didn't. You know, I just stayed with my own stuff, how it makes me feel, how I'd like to have my, you know, myself not react. I talked about how I would like to be a couple together, praying together, and I don't like this fighting that we're doing or him dragging something out that happened 27 years ago and saying, you are a very bad person, and then trying to get me react. And the one time she just talked to him and said, you know, you spend the whole time during this whole week attacking her, and she wants this marriage to work, and you have problems you need to work on. And he became hysterical. I've never seen a man do this. He became hysterical, and he started sobbing, and there were strings of snot running down his face. And instead of doing what the other counselor was, which take his side, she just let him stay in that moment. He ran out of the office. He said, we were 1,000 miles away from where we live. I'm going to fly home. I'm going to commit suicide. And he started calling people and basically got me sucked into it. That's what happened.
Well, your husband has a deep history of hurt and pain in the past. People,
he unraveled there.
He did unravel, and you know, she connected with a deep place inside of him, and the tantrums are a way or a method whereby he keeps people and himself away from that place of pain, which is a hurt little boy. Mm-hmm. He's been having tantrums for a long time. Before he ever met you, by the way, Dee, he was probably having tantrums with anybody that got close to that spot of pain. And so the answer to your question is, how long ago was that, by the way?
That would probably about 12 years ago.
Okay, has he ever talked about it since?
He will not talk. He will not go to anybody. He basically spends his time complaining and saying, I'm going to move here and I'm going to move there, and nothing. He refuses to talk to anybody about it.
Okay, so I know our time is up, and we'll come back in a moment, I believe, and
we will
talk to you for a few moments about some things you might say to him and things you might do. But
well, here's a great example of a man who is hurtful because
he's hurt.
He has been so deeply hurt and just doesn't see that on the other side of this is such a life of relief and peace if he would have the courage to find it.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and then you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Glad you're with us here. Before we go back to Dee and talk about her husband and this horrific pain she's going through because of the horrific pain that he obviously went through as a child, I want to remind all of you that There is something that you could do to help us, and it's an amazing thing, and that is to come and join Club New Life. Club New Life keeps us on the air in so many places, and it's the foundation of everything that we do, and we're so grateful for folks that have decided every month they're going to give $30 or more to New Life. I don't think we say it enough how much we appreciate all those that do it. But I want to ask you to come alongside and be part of that also if you never have before. And call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and just say, okay, I'm ready to be part of what really sustains this ministry. And it could make all the difference in the world for us and for you. I think you'll be greatly blessed. We'll send you these amazing videos that Mylon and Kay did. Just for our Club New Life people, our way of saying thank you for being part of this. And then you get access to 300 videos. I did the 300th one the other day, of things that you can literally become astute and know things that others do not know in the area of personal issues, spiritual growth. And it's all there. It's Club New Life. I'm just asking you, could you help us? Could you call us? Could you sign up today? We really, really need your help. And the great way to do it is Club New Life. All right. Let's go back to D, temper tantrums. Mylon, Jill, what do you think?
Every time he had a temper tantrum, or even before that, though, when he's in a more lucid state, I would talk to the 12-year-old. Or the young boy, and I'd say, I know you're hurt, and I know you're still with us. You see, inside your husband, that little 12-year-old's still in there.
Mm-hmm. Or even younger, Mylon. Or could be younger.
Or exactly, or 10, or 8, or 7, or 6, or 5, or 4, etc. But I know there's a little boy inside that hurts. And that, I use the term little boy because it allows Jill to that point. That it could be any age, we don't know exactly. And then it could be a succession through all many ages of being hurt over and over and over again. I know that little boy hurts. I want you to know I see him, and I'm going to love him, or I want to love him, if you would let me see him. Because he's there. He's the one that's so angry and hurt. And he's angry for a reason. And I remember, Steve, you and I were in Columbus, Ohio, and we were on stage, and there was a couple on stage with us, and he was angry all the time, and his wife's complaint was how angry he was. And I got up from my chair next to you, and I walked across the stage behind him, and I told him to ask him to turn around and speak to somebody in his past who had made him angry. And he looked at me, and he said, "You are my uncle. who knew I was being hurt and abused, and you didn't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. And it was a powerful moment because most of the time our anger is driven by past hurts and abuse and neglect and misuse. If he doesn't respond to that, if he won't respond to that, then I would consider, D, if I don't want to live the next 25 years the same way, getting a separation from him and saying, this is a warm boundary. I love you, but until you get some help, I'm not going to stay here anymore. Mm-hmm. And I need to create a legal separation which separates liabilities from me from you. But I want you to come back when you are ready to face this, and it's a choice, your anger or me. And I'm not divorcing you. I'm just getting a separation as a boundary to say, do something more. Mm-hmm. Jill, what were you going to say?
What that is doing, that is inviting him to no longer live in this marriage.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know what else to do because your tantrums are pushing me away.
Right.
And they're working.
Wow. That's so good.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so now what makes me so sad is that that little boy in you is truly alone because they're working.
Wow.
So, you know, when you're ready, I want to be with you. I won't shame you.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah. That's beautiful.
And here is a reality. The clock is ticking.
Yeah.
You don't have an infinite amount of time to get this right. And it's time for him to get it right, to resolve it so that he's not miserable and he's not inflicting that kind of misery on you. I'm really glad that you called. I'm going to send you two things. Take your life back, and I'm going to send you, let me send you three things. Forgiving our fathers and mothers, because I sense this really could be a major issue, dad or mom, probably his father. And then how we love will help you have some insight into this, because it really is a relational textbook. I wish everybody could read it. I wish everybody could understand it and benefit from it. My wife and I just last night, we were doing the holding thing, and it just produced such great smiles, genuine smiles with each other, of joy, of being in each other's presence. And there are very few things that can do that, and that book will help you. So you need a book on forgiveness, and you need a book on relating, and you need a book on freedom. By the way, if he could get to our Finding Freedom workshop, it's the newest that we've done, and that's going to be in May. It could change everything for him. And this is also the kind of couple that we're hoping would come this weekend in Orange County to our Marriage Intimacy Intensive. We're going to help you relate in a way you've never related before. It's full of grace and love and mercy. You can still get in. Scholarships are available. It's not too late. I've never, ever had anybody go and send me any kind of information saying, man, wish I hadn't done that. No, they're so grateful that for whatever reason, they decided they would come and spend that weekend with us. You could do that too. You find out all about it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's also where you could make a gift of any amount. If you do, we'll send you a wonderful CD that Dave Stoop and I did, on how do you initiate change that will last, not a momentary little benefit, and then you have a setback, but how do you make things in your life stay? We'll get that to you, our way of saying thank you. Our whole goal is for people to transform, and so many guys have been blessed by Every Man's Battle. We do it every month, and for everyone that comes, well, there is somebody that has been hurt, a woman, and that's Restore. We do that for you. If you need help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I just have to say, I had a wonderful experience, a speaker at a women's center, the Women's Center of Greater Chicagoland, 30 years they've been doing this. The speaker was ill, and I was able to jump in and fill in for them. 500 people, mostly Catholic folks, being a Southern Baptist, and getting a standing ovation from an audience of Catholics, I think that's a major victory. But I just want to say this. The things that are going on with abortion right now are so horrible that you hear about people not talking about cells or not talking about viability, literally talking about a child surviving an abortion and then the mother and the doctor taking that child's life after it's out of the womb. That's infanticide. And people are saying this is the way of the future. There are people out there, these wonderful people in these centers, that are fighting that. One very valuable life at a time, and it was a great honor to be there. If you need some help, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We want to help you, but you have to call us.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.